We're ready.
This is Pure Decking, show number 377 for January something, 23rd, 2020. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and how come we don't have the Enterprise yet? It's like 2020. Shouldn't we have, like, you know, spaceships and
racism.
World War III or something?
It should be the, if you're going the Star Trek timeline, we should be in the middle of the Eugenics Wars.
Yeah,
no, those were in the 90s. We should be coming out of the Eugenics Wars. Lost in Space, the Jupiter 2 should be up.
Yeah.
Nerds!
Yep. Yeah, we
I checked out the Jetsons. That's not going to happen for another 30 years.
What about Back to the Future? We already passed up Back to the Future, didn't we?
The first one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so where's our fucking flying cars?
But that was the second one. We should have hover skateboards, though.
Yeah. Nope. Instead of, proper... I suppose I should finish the intro. I'm Morps. Tonight we've got Madman and Are You. Gentlemen, what are we drinking?
Tears of a Cloud, but I've got to fix that because I've got bullet bourbon within reach. I think of an Aussie or some shit.
Freshly squeezed marsupial.
Ah, koala oil.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't taste good, but it'll lubricate your engine to 20,000 miles.
Oh. So, yeah, instead of flying cars and all the other shit we're supposed to have by now, or living in vaults and, you know, waiting for nuclear apocalypse to subside... When did the bombs drop in the Fallout universe?
I don't know, but I've been collecting bottle caps. I'm going to be a rich man when the world ends.
We got fucking cuck pods, cuck carts, wagey cages. Yeah, future's looking good, man. Looking forward to living in a little box with 100 other fucking people in a warehouse, paying $1,500 a month.
And then get me a house with a basement so I can get down there with my shotgun and be all kinds of happy.
Oh, we do have flying cars.
I don't think
we do,
but
they
count.
Just tend to land a little difficult.
Not counting helicopters.
IRC has said that in Fallout, the bombs don't drop until 2077, so we get some time. So...
Well, we do have a 28 days later scenario playing out right now. So we got that right.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Plague Inc. is,
Don't worry, man. It's just the sniffles. It's no better than a head cold. We're just going to quarantine 39 million people. Nothing to worry about. Well, nothing to see here.
It's 39
less
million
deadly
people.
Than SARS.
It's 39 million people in China. I mean, you know, does anybody really care?
Eat the bat, bigot. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about, though. Just 39 million people, quarantine, threat of execution if they leave. Chinese government, incredibly transparent and open about everything they do. Yeah, nothing to fear.
So, I
dude,
guess...
can you imagine the living conditions in those cities after a week?
Well, it's going to be like the walled city that never got sunlight.
Oh man, it's going to be fucking chaos. Wait. Yeah, I'm excited.
Depends if they still allow things in, they'll be fine.
Yeah, the woo flu, I love it.
Now I'm thinking, Batman No Man's Land for some reason. Anyways, We would have brought the show back last week, but we had a power incident that apparently
a climate emergency
of a truck slamming into a transformer and knocking out half of the town I live in. So, yeah, you know, I thought about trying to do the show from a cell phone and an iPad, like, you know, sitting with a candle in the corner, but it's a little too after now for my taste. So.
Then you realize you don't get paid for this show, yeah. And it was easy just to sit on your ass and drink.
It's like, yeah, we haven't came back yet, so it's like, oh yeah,
I'm practicing for the future. I'm drinking in the dock alone.
Oh wait, he's not wrong. Fuck,
dude, this is my fucking dream. Like, I've had some great birthdays the last couple of years, man. Like this time, it was an evacuation order due to fires. Like, that was great. Last time there was a big emergency, it was like floods. Fantastic. I didn't leave the house for 7 weeks. Except for booze.
That's
booze
impressive. And food. That's impressive.
Yeah, no shit. I had a mate come around. Like, not a mate, more of an associate. Left a note on my front door because he hadn't seen me in 3 weeks out and about. He's like, hey, man, are you going on holidays? He actually came around and did a welfare check on me.
To make sure you weren't dead.
Exactly. I don't know, are you checking on me because I'm not dead or you need something? He's like, a bit of A, a bit of B. But yeah, man, seven weeks. I think I left the house maybe two or three times just to resupply.
So it was awesome. I'm going to address something that Psychros just brought up in the IRC there. He was talking about Brave Rewards and possibly things like that. I am never going to set up a PayPal box, a Patreon, or anything like that with Galaxy 15. Ever. Because the reason we've been able to keep Galaxy 15 going is we didn't try to do like some of these YouTube channels do or some of these other things do where suddenly money gets involved and everyone turns into a giant asshole. I might do some other things online, you know, trying to, you know, that might actually be for profit down the road, but it won't be associated with Galaxy 15. I won't even be using the same handle if I do anything like that. I might cross promote, but it'd be hard to, you know, I would pretend it's not the same guy or something, maybe, you know, unsuccessfully probably, but it's one of these things where it's just one, we've got a lot of music that we've gotten people to agree to let us play for free. So if we started making any kind of money, that gets complicated. But two, I don't want to get in a shit fight with these guys over, you know, who gets what percentage of what, right? Because
so you got my receipt for, you know, the artwork I've been doing.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I don't know. Have you? You don't follow a lot of that shit outside, do you?
Not really.
I'm a sucker for that stuff. I really enjoy it. And some dude was given permission to use some artwork on a show. And he's like, oh, thanks. And then the dude started invoicing him for the artwork.
Oh, dang.
Going, you got to pay me now. He's like, but you gave it to me for nothing. He's like, yeah, but you weren't earning anything then. Now I want money because you're making money. It's just crazy shit like that, you know?
And so basically we would have to sit down and actually draw up legal documents if money got involved. And that's the kind of shit that just never ends well, especially when we've been doing this for years. How do you go back and say, okay, what do we do with the, you know, 200 some odd episodes we did of I Have Nothing and the, you know, the same amount we've done of Decking and all the other shit we've done? I don't want to.
Ooh.
I don't want to.
Would
go
I be
there.
Able to charge certain people for show ideas that they went on and did? Like,
I don't know. You see, know, that's the thing. I don't want to try to figure that shit out.
And then all the affiliated stations we had at one point, like how much are they owed? Like, yeah, dude, this is why we made that agreement behind a dumpster at 1 a.m.
Yeah, it's
that's a binding contract.
A handshake
behind a dumpster.
That's about the closest we've ever come with Galaxy 15. But it's one of these things where it's like, if we sat down and tried to figure this out, I'd probably just shut G15 down for fear of owing people money.
Yeah, I've watched this scenario of a couple of buddies starting an internet radio show, getting really, really big, getting donations, and then all of a sudden one of them claims more ownership than the next man. And you got a friendship of 15 years or so just burnt overnight.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It really was a conversation behind a dumpster at a...
Yeah, that is true.
It was at a Waffle House. Well, Aryu and I were sitting here talking about the future of humanity, and Suave was getting high off his ass, and the guy he bought the weed from was over there chucking... I don't even know where he got the dishes from, but he was chucking dishes against the wall. And we said, fuck it, let's get out of here.
I don't remember that. But yeah, it's something I've never regretted. That's one thing I can say.
No, that's when you set up a camera. That could have been an episode of something. I don't know what.
If we didn't want evidence of a crime?
Exactly. We'd attach GoPros to each other, man, and we could have made a 40-minute, mockumentary. Something in the... It would have been like Trailer Park Boys, but more booze.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Big did almost die, so, I mean, you know.
It's not a meetup unless someone nearly dies.
Yeah, but he didn't nearly die from drinking. Dude should realize, if you're less than half the size of everyone else drinking, that means you have less blood to water down the alcohol.
Well, and then the second meetup, he almost died because, we sent him a picture of your arm.
Hey, and he that's about my drove ass off the road. And he still believes it.
And he about drove off the road.
Oh. Yeah, but when do you ever expect a text message to come through on the center console TV screen? It looks like an ass.
When do you expect a text to come from saying, "This is from my car"? How else do you respond to that?
This is from my ass.
Oh. And so, Chris, if you truly feel like you need to give money to something, donate to a bee charity. As in Buzzbees. Bzz. Yeah, give it to them. Fuck the koalas.
So, anyways. So, yeah, we will never have money associated with Galaxy 15 just for all kinds of reasons. Mainly because I don't want to do the work to figure it out.
What's the first story of the evening?
Jeff Bezos getting hacked by the Saudi Crown Prince.
Womp womp.
Did I already throw the links out? I did. Okay, so this is the link Aryu sent me yesterday, I believe. UN human rights it's from the BBC. UN human rights experts have demanded an immediate investigation into allegations Saudi Arabia's crown prince hacked Amazon boss Jeff Bezos' phone. Would you guys take projects? Like if somebody built something cool and sent it to you guys to play with?
Yes.
I have no...
I'm not sending it back, but I will play with any toy that randomly shows up in the mail.
This will end well. Hey, Madman, how'd you get that hole in your hand?
It exploded. I don't know what it was supposed to do, but if it was supposed to explode, it worked fucking awesome.
I built this ball with a button on it. It has all the components of a bomb, but I don't know what it does.
If we were to get a P.O. box, then we also have to hire someone to open whatever you fuckers would send us.
I will do this. Like I said, I will play with anything that gets mailed in.
Madman, what's your address? I've got some ideas for fucking gifts.
And just set up. We're going to set up a camera, and it's just going to be him opening all these boxes. It's gonna be like, my God, why do you all keep sending us dildos?
I even love the hate mail that we get. Somebody's listening to us.
Yeah, we used to get hate messages on Reddit. It's like, because they used to post us on like the Cyberpunk subreddit, and somebody came in, "You guys aren't liberal enough for Cyberpunk." Okay, sure.
Yeah, eat my whatever.
And you know what the funniest part was? It wasn't even me or Madman. It was Lore. They were listening to Lore's show and said it wasn't liberal enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, give it a man who doesn't have any politics.
Right? It's like, what the fuck?
The least political.
It's like, at least me or Madman, you know, it slips in, right? You could at least say something there, but come on.
Yeah. Oh, fucking law.
Bezos.
They said Mohammed bin Salman should be investigated for continuous direct and personal efforts to target perceived opponents. A message from a phone number used by the prince has been implicated in a breach of Mr. Bezos' data. The kingdom's U.S. embassy has denied the absurd story, but the independent U.N. experts, Agnes Calmand, special rapporteur, that's okay, on summary executions and extrajudicial killings, and David Kane, a special rapporteur on freedom of expression, said the crown prince's possible involvement had to be investigated. Relations between Saudi Arabia and Mr. Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, worsened after Jamal Khashoggi, a prominent critic of the Saudi government and one of the newspaper's staff, pretty sure he was not actually on staff. Wasn't he just a column writer who like sent his work in for like not pro bono? What I forget what it's called when you're paid by the article.
Yeah,
freelance. You're freelancer.
I'm pretty sure that's what he was. I don't think he was. Maybe he was on staff, but he wasn't like listed as one of their reporters. Was murdered in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018. The killing took place months after the alleged cyber hack took place. Mr. Bezos' phone was hacked after he received a WhatsApp message in May 2018 that was sent from the Crown Prince's personal account, according to the Guardian newspaper, which broke the story. An investigation of the data breach reportedly found that the billionaire's phone began secretly sharing huge amounts of data after he received the encrypted video file. In a statement, Ms. Calmand and Mr. Kane said the information we have received suggests the possible involvement of the Crown Prince in surveillance of Mr. Bezos and an effort to influence, if not silence, the Washington Post reporting in Saudi Arabia. It said the allegations reinforced other reporting pointing to a pattern of targeted surveillance of perceived opponents and of broader strategic importance to Saudi authorities. The experts linked the case heavily to Khashoggi's murder, saying the Post reporter's phone had been hacked at the same time as Mr. Bezos'. They said there has been a massive clandestine online campaign against Mr. Bezos and Amazon, apparently targeting him principally as the owner of the Washington Post. The statement also called for rigorous control of the unconstrained marketing, sale, and use of spyware. The UN experts cite a 2019 forensic analysis of Mr. Bezos' iPhone that assessed with medium to high confidence that his phone was infiltrated on May the 1st of 2018 via an MP4 video file sent from a WhatsApp account used personally by Mohammed bin Salman. The Crown Prince and Mr. Bezos had reportedly exchanged numbers a month earlier within hours of the MP4's arrival. There was a massive and unprecedented exfiltration of data from Mr. Bezos's phone. The analysis cited by experts says the Crown Prince sent WhatsApp messages to Mr. Bezos in which he allegedly revealed private and confidential information about Mr. Bezos' personal life. Private information was then leaked to the American tabloid, The National Enquirer, in February 2019. Mr. Bezos accused it of extortion and blackmail after it published text messages between him and his girlfriend, former Fox television producer Lauren Sanchez. A month earlier, he and Mackenzie Bezos, his wife of 25 years, had announced that they had planned to divorce, having been separated for a long period. World's most expensive blowjob. Anyways, the Twitter account on the on the Kingdom's U.S. Embassy issued an outright denial, called for investigation of these claims, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. So, you know, malware. This is not the first time we've seen malware in MP4 videos, so that's no surprise. You know, a common tactic when you're trying to get people to install spyware is to spoof a famous account or an account of somebody you would, you know, normally open up the account and trust. But somehow I doubt the Saudi prince is actually sitting there hacking people's phones. I mean, maybe he is, but it's more likely that that phone is like a government-issued phone, and he probably handed it off to some intelligence team who then, you know, went to town on it. It probably wasn't the prince himself. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
That's the UN, because the story I actually heard, Bezos had his phone checked out by a private security company. I didn't know law enforcement had gotten involved yet.
No, this is the UN, so
Okay, so not quite law enforcement. And it's probably, it could just be the report that the private company that he had look at his phone.
So who knows? But yeah, I mean, this happens, right? It's one of these things where, you know, if I was somebody like a Jeff Bezos or, you know, any of these, you know, really famous business guys, any of your social media heads, things like that, I just wouldn't use the same device for more than a couple of months, you know? Even if nothing was wrong with it, just, you know, just rotate out iPhones, flash it with a new one. I wouldn't even bother keeping the same devices for very long just because you know you're a target.
The fact that you can afford to treat the latest iPhone or whatever as a burner.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, then hell, you can rotate between two or three ones if you're just flashing them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, that's what I would do. Because, you know, that way, even if you get one that's, you know, it's like if you're doing the Docker Kubernetes stuff on the sysadmin side, you might as well rotate your containers once a week, even if nothing's wrong with them, just to rotate them, just in case. Why not? You know, I mean, you set
I'm
up all your profiles.
He actually, yeah, go for I'm it. Actually surprised he actually answers his own phone.
Well, it's he's probably got like his personal phone, and then he's got the phone number he gives out, and I guess he for some reason gave his personal phone number to the, well, according to the story, to the Saudi prince. But you know, yeah, I don't think that'd be I wouldn't. You would never give out that number. That number probably goes, you know, there's probably only like five people who get that number. You know?
Yeah, his mistress, his wife.
His wife, his mistress, his wife's mistress, and then, you know, whoever he's paying to screen his calls.
Yeah.
So.
Although, he is one of the few people gets the phone call saying, I'm the Saudi prince. He has a reason to believe it's true.
That's, yeah. I could see that.
I don't know. What would he have to do? What would he have an interest in common with the Saudi prince?
I don't know. How about the economy of Saudi Arabia?
He owns Amazon.
Amazon is expanding into other things. And it's attempting into a lot of different countries.
Because they're both rich as fuck, and who knows what deals they might be working out.
They're probably trying to get another Epstein up and running.
Gross.
That? Or how about I be the e-commerce store in your country instead of Alibaba?
Or, you know, the Washington Post was running a whole bunch of not nice articles about Saudi Arabia, you know. Maybe, you know, and I could see them actually talking about what they're going to publish and what they're not. I mean,
Bezos
they
is
do
lucky
that a
the
lot.
Crown Prince doesn't put him in a bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think Bezos is going to go over there anytime soon.
No, I wouldn't. Definitely wouldn't be traveling there.
Yeah, no. That's
although, how would you prove it came from the Crown Prince? I mean, they're saying it came from his buckets account, right?
His WhatsApp account, yeah.
WhatsApp. That was popped. I didn't do it. I'm a victim of a cybercrime.
Or it's spoofed, right? I mean,
yeah. More than likely it was spoofed. But they're not going to tell you that because, you know, it wrecks a good story.
Yeah, and I mean, if I was trying to get into somebody's, you know, phone and needed them to click a link, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to make it look like something they want to open. You know, do they work somewhere? I'm going to title it, if I've got somebody I'm targeting and I know where they work, I'm going to title it like their HR company wrote it and put it in as the layoff plans for that year or something else that you're going to open when you see that document, right? Or, payroll. You know, my absolute favorite trick of just, you know, putting the word malware in a Word file named do not open. .doc, you know, docm. You know.
Top secret, private, do not open.
Yeah. That works very well.
It's not layoffs, it's department restructuring.
Yeah, that's another good one. Department restructuring is a good one. you know, just payroll, 2020 payroll, that'd be another good one. So, because, you know, people are going to open that shit, so.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Jeff Bezos, maybe you spoof being the Saudi prince or, you know, Donald Trump. I don't know. What the fuck? If you're targeting Trump, I don't know. Then spoof a porn star, I guess. I mean, whatever. Yeah, Bratz has got the right idea. Performance reviews, HR only. So, just did one of those, actually.
I'm happily not doing those anymore.
Oh, politics are involved with mine. It's great fun. I'll tell you about it off air. Anyways, let's move on to the next story here. Next one up is from CNN. Tinder is following in Uber's lead in adding in-app safety features for dates that become unsafe. The dating app is adding a new safety feature, including a panic button that alerts safety authorities. Safety authorities, there's a title. If something goes wrong during a date, Tinder also has added the ability to check in, telling friends where the dates are. U.S. users will receive the free new tools next Tuesday in a new section of the app called Safety Center. Match, the dating conglomerate that owns Tinder, will roll out new tools in other dating services later this year. The company also owns OkCupid, Hinge, and the flagship Match.com. The tools will be powered by Noonlight, a safety platform that Tinder made an investment in. Terms of the deal were not disclosed. To use the new Safety Center tools, users also have to download Noonlight and enable the app's location tracking tools. Users' date information, such as location. Well, yeah, you see now why I'm interested in this story, right?
It's not about the money. It's about sending a message.
Users' dates information, such as location, will have to be manually entered into a new Tinder timeline tool that can be shared with friends. If the user feels unsafe, they will have to open the Noonlight app and press a button that discreetly contacts Noonlight dispatchers. The dispatcher will first send them a text so they don't have to vocally talk for help. If that's unanswered, Noonlight will send a code and call them. If there's no answer, Noonlight will dispatch emergency services. The aim is to let users ask for help without raising suspicions during the date. That's why its panic tools are located within the Noonlight app. You know, because them sitting there fiddling with their phone if the date's about to go bad. Really? It's like
that doesn't just call 911.
Just call 911. You got a phone. It's a fucking phone in your hand. You don't need an app with emergency services. 911 send.
Oh, it's not even send. It's you tap the screen and hit the emergency call button.
Well, it didn't help poor old Kevin Bacon. I don't know if you know the story of that man, that poor young man. He was decided to go on a bit of a Tinder date, and it's not Kevin Bacon, the actual actor. It's just another, it's a hairdresser from Queens. Hooked up on Grindr, and next thing found himself hanging upside down from his ankles in a man's basement, having parts of him removed from and eaten.
Gross.
Yeah, true story. Dude was eating people off Grindr.
Please tell me Rammstein's Mein Part was playing in the background.
I don't know, but 3 weeks previous, they'd seen a very young Asian man ran screaming from that house, bloodied from head to toe, wearing only a leather kilt. Neighbors described him as a quiet guy.
It's always the quiet
one. The screaming Asian man? No, yep. He's a screaming Asian man in the leather kilt. That's the opposite of a quiet guy.
Well, it's like that time we tried to get Madman to burst out of a trunk and run screaming when we were getting gas. So
it was after we were getting gas. It was when we were driving down the road. I got in the trunk when we were getting gas. It had a glow-in-the-dark pull-me-run-away tab. You have to double-check these to make sure they work.
Oh, this is just a way for them to gather more data on you. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with safety. This is just more information on you to sell about you. When are people going to fucking start seeing this? Or do they just not care anymore?
Well, the rest of the article goes on about that. It's actually kind of funny. Location sharing apps have come under scrutiny recently for not selling users' information to advertisers. I don't think that sentence says what they think it says.
Yeah, no, that's wrong.
Location sharing apps have come under scrutiny for recently for not selling users' information to advertisers. Match won't have access to Noonlight's data, to location data, and Noonlight claims it doesn't sell user data. Users can also switch off location services within the phone settings when they aren't on dates.
Yeah, right.
This is getting around the chicks telling their girlfriends, call me in 35 minutes. On a date, I'll be on a date, and that'll give me enough time to decide whether or not he's rich enough to stay.
Yeah.
You're a cynical person, madman. How dare you think a woman would do that? How dare you?
You know, I almost put the how dare you on the soundboard, and then we decided against it. Because everybody else was using it.
There you go. Instead of money, send us sound clips.
Yeah, I need to redo the soundboard. Most of the stuff on it is getting, you know, kind of stale. Although I don't think we use this very often.
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
That is not the...
I just ground up my own dick.
Yeah, there we go. We haven't used that one in a bit.
Yeah. Ooh, that one works. Play that one again. It relates to the story.
I just ground up my own dick.
That would be a bad date.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
That one never leaves the board.
Say what?
The Alex Jones one never leaves the board. That one's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, here you go. Just, you know, you hit the panic button and...
Sir, help is on the way.
There you go. So...
it's got nothing to do with safety.
I'm still just boggled on the... You're holding a phone. It's a fucking phone. If you need help, 911. I mean, it's like, anyways.
Yeah, but then you have to explain to the cops why you're hanging upside down naked in a basement.
Well, yeah, but then it gives you an excuse to use the force, you know, to get your phone out of the pile of clothes, next to you.
Dude was a bear, too, so he would have been all hairy and shit like that big snow monster. Oh, that just takes a whole level of fucked up. Thanks, fellas.
You're never going to be able to watch Empire Strikes Back again, are you?
No, all I'm going to see is an effeminate little twink hanging from the fucking ceiling and a bear coming in to chuck pieces off him.
Yeah. You're just describing Enterprise Strikes Back.
An effeminate twink hanging upside down.
Come on. You tell me Mark Hamill in those movies wasn't a bit of a skinny boy.
Yeah.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I can say he is not the most macho of superheroes.
No, he's no Han Solo. You know, he's definitely not a Chad.
Well, that took a twist, didn't it? Let's go to the next one. This is from The Register. Hapless AWS engineer spilled passwords, keys, confidential internal training info, customer messages on a public GitHub.
Wow.
Updated an Amazon Web Services engineer published exchanges with customers and system credentials, including passwords, AWS key pairs, and private keys to a public GitHub repository by accident. On the 13th of January, InfoSec Biz UpGuard discovered a 954 megabyte repository containing Amazon resource templates used to create cloud services, plus host names and log files generated in the second half of 2019. There were also internal Amazon training resources marked confidential. Several documents contained access keys for various cloud services UpGuard recorded today. There are multiple AWS key pairs, including one named rootkey.csv, suggesting it provided root access to the user's AWS account. The other files contained collections of auth tokens and API keys for third-party providers. One such file for an insurance company included keys for messaging and email providers. UpGuard continued, in addition to data related to computer systems like credentials, logs, and code, the repo also contained assorted documents that established the identity of the owner and their relationship to AWS. These documents included bank statements, correspondence with AWS customers, and identity documents, including a driver's license. Multiple documents, including the owner's full name, a LinkedIn profile matched the exact name identified, you know, one person who listed AWS as their employer in a role that matched the kind of data found in the repo. The other documents in the repository included training for AWS personnel and documents marked as Amazon confidential. Yeah, the data originated from an AWS engineer because they found the dude's LinkedIn profile. A couple of hours after the discovery, UpGuard notified AWS security and the repo was taken offline. The repository was public for less than 5 hours. However, as UpGuard noted by referencing, they've got a link to a paper from North Carolina State University, there are ways to discover mishaps like this quickly via GitHub search feature. One is able to discover 99% of newly committed files containing secrets in real time, it said. Yeah, there's actually like tools. I think we've talked about them in Dojo before that'll just monitor GitHub for shit, just like routinely searching it. So, these researchers believe that thousands of new unique secrets are leaked every day. This means that, you know, even 5 hours of exposure is plenty of time for confidential information to be picked up by criminals. Why do so many secrets end up in GitHub repos? A common reason is the developers trying out some new ideas, hard code credentials into applications, then publish the code without thinking through the implications, or they forget they're publishing to a public repo. The problem is so common that GitHub has a token scanning service that scours public repositories for known tokens to formats to prevent fraudulent use of credentials that were committed accidentally. GitHub also recommends considering any tokens that GitHub sends you messages about as public and compromised. In this case, however, the repository was structured as a general storage rather than application code, with many files in the top-level directory and no clear... So it's the dude's home folder. Yeah, and no clear convention for subdirectories. Yeah. This was somebody's home folder, noted UpGuard. Why was this in a GitHub repository at all? Because it was somebody's home folder, and they probably live out of Docker containers, because that's what a lot of the Web 2.0 guys do. This is not known. It could be anything from an errant script to a misguided attempt to use GitHub like Dropbox for exchanging or backing up files. UpGuard noted there's no evidence that the user acted maliciously or that any of the personal data for end users was affected, in part because it was detected by UpGuard and remediated by AWS so quickly. It was oddly complacent. It is an oddly complacent conclusion, bearing in mind the statements that precede it, but AWS will be hoping it's correct. Does GitHub make it too easy to search? Yeah, kind of, but I mean, that's the nature of the beast. So they've got some other things about GitHub on here. A spokesperson for Amazon told them the code repository is used by an engineer in a personal capacity and claimed no customer data or company systems were exposed. Well, that's a lie. They saw customer data in there. They had credentials and shit. So, yeah. What's more interesting to me is that an AWS engineer had all these credentials to client systems. So that just means if you're putting stuff in AWS, just you need to understand that AWS engineers potentially have full access to anything you put up there. And people don't understand that. You have a lot of big companies thinking they're going to move into AWS and save big money on their data center costs. No, you're not. And there are security implications to that that are very difficult to deal with. So, and if you are routinely putting things in GitHub, well, make sure the repo is private, I guess. Or, you know, maybe set up your own, you know, Git repository to use that internally instead of something that's on the fucking internet. Just a thought.
I wonder what's in their UI that lets them use their customer data for development.
So
I know lots
say.
Of companies that do it, but they're not outsourcing their data storage.
Well, in this case, it looks like somebody accidentally uploaded their home folder, right? So
yeah.
I don't know that, you know, he was doing anything malicious having that kind of data. It's just from a security perspective, the fact that he had that kind of data for customers at all, like email provider credentials and things like that, that strikes me as odd. I mean, maybe maybe they're from his personal, you know, Amazon accounts. Who knows? But I just, you know, understand that the cloud is a fancy way of saying somebody else's computer. And that argument seems lost on a lot of people anymore. So
I'm wondering how many people do realize that. Back to mainframe computing, isn't it?
Kind of. I mean, it's not exactly the same in that, you know, you're not doing time sharing and that your local machine's not a dumb terminal. But, you know, the analogy is not too far off. But, you know, again, it comes back to the fact that it's somebody else's computer, ultimately. You know, the reason that you're trusting Amazon is that you have a contract with them that they're not going to abuse that access. Well, what if they've got an employee who doesn't abide by those agreements? Oops.
Yeah.
This means you should...
What if they're careless with their data and get compromised?
Taking
on all their risk as well.
What if Bezos sells off AWS servicing to some other company and that company changes how they, you know, changes their policies and how they interact? Now what?
On that one, you usually have until your contract is up.
Well, you potentially have a lawsuit, but, you know, they could pull a Radio Shack. You know, Radio Shack had been building that customer list for years, and when they went under, the first thing they did was sell it. Because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sue a bankrupt company?
So. Oh, that wasn't against their policy. It wasn't against any laws or anything that you signed for them not to sell that.
Cycross has a good point that if you're living off of a smartphone or a Chromebook, it might as well be a dumb terminal. Chromebook, especially. Some of the higher end smartphones, I might argue with you with, but the mid range ones and low end Android tablets, Chromebooks, yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. So. What are we doing? Washington Post story? This one's kind of
cool. Yeah, I think we've played that one out.
Okay, this one's kind of cool. This is from Washington Post. Justin Barrard. B-A-R-A-D. Barrard? Never would have guessed that he'd operate on a gorilla during his residency at the UCLA Medical Center, where he was training to be an orthopedic surgeon. Yet in August 2014, the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens needed specialists to help Jabri, a 400-pound gorilla who is limping and unable to put weight on his leg. The surgery was successful, but it was a challenging endeavor for a team that doesn't normally operate on animals. The zoo's request was an unusual one, even by industry standards, but unpredictability is commonplace in the medical world. His experience with Jabri is one of the many reasons Barrard sought out a solution for surgeons and doctors so often faced with unknowns. Those moments drove him to dedicate his career to making surgery training more efficient using video game technology. Along with a team of software developers and medical experts, he founded Osso VR in 2016. It's an attempt to curb unpredictability, giving surgeons on-demand information via a virtual reality headset and tools to properly assess how to best handle surgery. It was one of the Time Best Inventions 2019. You say done by UCLA. Training with Osso VR is 230% more effective than traditional methods. So I'm not going to sit here and read this whole story because it's all blowing smoke up this guy's ass. But what they've really done is they've developed training for surgeons using Oculus, pretty much, you know, VR headsets. So that they can... You know, and they've got like some photos here showing them wearing like an Oculus headset, but they've got the controller strapped to custom tools. And so pretty much they're using VR for, you know, training. I think that's awesome. That's an actual really good use of VR besides from, you know, watching weird porn and playing video games.
All right, Dave, let's run training scenario 53. The anesthetic wears off the gorilla. Go.
And now you're playing that game where you have to beat things mercilessly with swords.
Dude, I hope that's part of the game.
What was the game? Oh, fuck. I still haven't played that. I need to rig up a VR.
Pirate Trainer?
No. It was one RU wanted me to play. Hellsplit.
Saber?
Hellsplit.
Yeah.
So, you're playing Hellsplit.
Yeah. I hope that's in his VR training. That'd be great.
The gorilla wakes up. Yeah, you could have a lot of fun developing. Yeah, apparently they're planning on bringing it to the Oculus Quest, but right now it's still on the tethered ones for PCs. So, anyways, I just thought it was cool, the use of VR besides games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's good. I like the mechanic simulators and stuff like that, too, because it's getting people more confident about fixing their own machines.
Sure. And you think about it, like, if you've ever played with one of these VR headsets, they're pretty good at making you feel there, especially the newer ones. Like, I've got a Quest, right? And when you've got that thing on, when you get into a game, yeah, the graphics might be a bit cartoony or something, but, I mean, you still kind of feel like you're there. So I could easily see if you're training somebody on a virtual, like if you're training somebody on a space, you know, how to operate a piece of machinery, just what a piece of equipment's going to look like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that, especially like when you can walk around it and, you know, use the VR controllers to like pick it up and manipulate it. I mean, you know, you're in an environment there where you can't really hurt anything because it's all just in the computer. Not quite holodeck, but, you know, hey, it's something. So, keeping with the video game stories, the next one I have's not so good. Rocket League is ending their support for macOS and Linux. So,
I don't have a Mac. I don't have a Mac, so it doesn't really affect me, and I don't play Rocket League, so fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah, but people
bought the Rocket League players.
People bought the game on Linux.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It sucks, but what are you going to do?
Complain and bitch about it. But
good start.
Yeah, so the article's from their support document here. We want Rocket League to be the best experience for all of our players. This includes adapting to new technologies. This has made it more difficult to support Mac and Linux or SteamOS. Because of this, we have a final patch for these versions in early May. The Mac and Linux versions will no longer be updated or supported after the final patch. You'll still be able to download and install these versions, but some features will not function as expected. If you purchased Rocket League for Mac on Linux on Steam, you can download the Windows version. The version will run with a fully functional with full functionality on a PC with Windows 7 or newer. Players on Mac can try running Rocket League on Windows with Apple's Boot Camp, and Boot Camp is not officially supported. If you play in Linux, you can try Proton App or Wine. These tools are also not officially supported. They're basically just dropping you.
Wow.
Yeah, after the
they didn't just give him the fuck you. They stuck it in and twisted it.
Yeah, after the final patch, the following offline features should function as expected. Local matches, split screen play, garage and inventory, your existing items will not be removed, career stats replays, Steam Workshop maps, which must be downloaded before the final patch, and custom training packs, which also must be downloaded before the final patch. After the final patch, the following online features will no longer function. Online matchmaking, private matches, tournaments, Rocket Pass, Item Shop, Esports Shop, In-Game Events, Friends List, Clubs, News Panel, new custom training packs, new Steam Workshop maps, leaderboards, or league rankings. So, yep.
That's... Hope you had your fun, Mac users.
Yeah, it's local matches only. So,
wow.
they're just crippling it.
I wonder
that's
if
a blow to the Linux side of this also, because if more games start doing this, then Linux dies before it ever got off the ground.
Well, no, that's not true. I actually firmly believe that the future of computing is going to be Linux on ARM devices. I do believe that. I also think it's going to be another couple of decades before that's the status quo. But
I was going to say, you better have a long fucking timeline for
that's what I'm talking about.
You know,
because
getting Microsoft out of this is like, you know, flying a gun out of a gun on his hand, man.
Well, the trend is moving away from desktop PCs outside of like the workplace. And you're right, Windows will probably dominate the office for the foreseeable future. But most home users are moving to tablets, you know, phones, game consoles, iPads, Chromebooks. So
yeah.
I think you're going to see in the server space a lot of things moving to Linux on ARM, because ARM is cheap, more efficient, more power friendly for what it does. So once the software catches up and there's, you know, some compelling hardware out there, you're going to see more and more data centers moving towards ARM platforms because it'll be cheaper to run 10 times as many servers. So that's where it's, I am literally talking about like 30 years, right?
Yeah.
This is not going to be an overnight thing.
I was thinking maybe because even like the kids I know that do gaming, they're either console or they're still PC. They don't do like first-person shooters and stuff on tablets.
But I think you're going to see, well, you're going to see a lot of them on console. But, and on the Linux side of the house, Photon and Wine, I think, are going to keep getting good development. So you're eventually going to be able to run pretty much any Windows software you want between those two. But yeah, I think the model is changing. I think the paradigm is changing, and we're looking at the very beginning of it. So
I can see that, because for web browsing, most people are using phones and tablets now.
Mm-hmm.
Yours aren't the big thing on the web.
Yeah, I mean, how many people do all of their banking on their phone? It's a lot. Like, I had to give my sister a laptop. She needed one and didn't have one. Just flat out hadn't bought a laptop in 15 years. And so, of course, I've got several of the damn things because I'm insane. So she asked if I had one she could, I could just give her instead of her going out and buying one. So, and of course I did. But, it's just one of these things. So, yeah, I know several people who just, at home, yeah, they use a computer for work, but at home, they don't have one. They have an Xbox for, or they have a, an iPad. They just don't, have a reason to use a desktop PC half the time, and I don't see that trend changing. Yeah. I think you'll still see, guys like us, the crazies out there who are still using desktop machines, but even that, I think you'll start seeing workstations that are ARM-based workstations rather than, Windows.
I will never host any of my data anywhere but here with myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got no interest in the cloud.
But almost all of your cloud hosting is going to be Linux before too much longer. The only things that are really still run in Windows are legacy IIS servers and some application stack stuff, but more and more of it's moving to Linux and containerization. So, and even then, a lot of times, even when you're running the Windows stuff anymore, it's virtualized on top of the Linux platforms. Just, and it makes sense, because why would you pay for a per machine license when you don't have to? So, but the offices, they'll still be running Windows for now to the end of time, and it'll be a trick to see something unseat Active Directory, although Microsoft is trying to migrate that stuff into Office 365, so who knows. But let's talk about a satellite that's going to explode.
Awesome.
Move off of future predictions and here we go. This is from Engadget. DirecTV satellite is at risk of explosion due to battery issues. It has to move the satellite out of geostationary orbit, where most of the telecom satellites are, ASAP. DirecTV has 1 month to remove a satellite from geostationary orbit so it doesn't take other satellites down with it if it ends up exploding. The AT&T-owned TV service fears that its Spaceway One satellite, a Boeing 702HP model, might explode due to battery issues that started manifesting in December. According to Space News, DirecTV explained in an FCC filing dated January 19th that an anomaly caused significant and irreversible thermal damage to the satellite. satellite's batteries. The company already switched the batteries off and has been operating Spaceway 1 using power generated by its solar panels. However, it's expected to pass through Earth's shadow in late February, where only batteries can serve as its power source. That's why DirecTV has to send it 300 kilometers above geostationary orbit at a place where satellites go to die before February 25th. The risk of catastrophic battery failure makes it urgent that Spaceway 1 be deorbited and decommissioned prior to February 25th, start of eclipse season, the company said in a statement. The companies are required to dump their satellites' remaining fuel before decommissioning them to reduce the risk of explosion, but DirecTV asked FCC for a waiver because it doesn't think it has enough time to do so. It takes 2 to 3 months to dump fuel from similar satellites, especially since DirecTV put it in enough for Safeway 1 to stay into service till 2025. That said, it'll be at least in a graveyard orbit if it does end up exploding instead of in geostationary orbit where most telecommunication satellites are. Space News says DirecTV fans don't need to worry, though. No customers were affected and presumably will be affected by the event since Spaceway 1 was merely a backup satellite. Even so, they got to move this thing off because it's going to blow up and take out other satellites with it.
Wow.
Kind of surprised we already have a graveyard designation for shit in space.
Yep. Amazing what we can do.
Truly living in the best reality.
Exactly. It's a barren, stained world.
I just love that little end of the article. Don't worry, DirecTV users. It's just a backup satellite. It's going to blow up and take out all your cell phone networks, but it's just a backup satellite.
At least you can still watch reruns of fucking Urkel. Yo, that shows my age, doesn't it?
Oh, Family Matters?
Yeah, I watched it too. They had some pictures of the guy who played Urkel not too long ago. He, like, did a 180 trying to get out of that role.
Oh, yeah, that was a career wrecker, that one.
Yeah, he got himself jacked and tried to turn himself into a completely different person, because betting he was typecast after that.
Like Alf. Alf could never get roles after that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you just didn't see him in anything else.
Exactly.
Of course, I liked how the end of the series with him getting captured by the government so they could be dissected.
I actually don't remember how that show ended.
Got captured by the government so he could be dissected.
Oh, really?
They did a made-for-TV movie where they bust him out.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
Yep.
I always just thought that show was funny because it's like, oh, shit, the government got him. That was it.
The cat's finally safe.
Those are some very explosive batteries if we're also worried about them taking out other satellites.
Well, they're probably in close proximity to jet fuel.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
probably more like
they
it.
Use hydrogen.
Only compressed hydrogen, madman. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
That's space. It's not like it's combustible in space, right? It's a vacuum.
Somebody grab Swaff. We need him to tell us about how all that hydrogen is going in space. Engineers for him. Oh, fuck. Anyways, let's do this. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is this really fun write-up, which is Anatomy of a Facebook-Hosted Phishing Attack. And it's a pretty good write-up, but pretty much the short version of it is that Facebook has a kind of a blogging platform called Notes. And so phishers are setting up fake pages on Notes impersonating official Facebook support forms, trying to get people to punch their username and password into these Facebook forms so they can steal their accounts. And because it's actually hosted on Facebook, the domain matches. And because Notes isn't that well known of a feature, you know, what do? When you think it might be a phishing email, you look at the domain. And so they're sending people these phishing emails. What's it say? The phishing attack comes from an email message, which purports to be from Facebook, informing the user that their Facebook posts have been reported for copyright infringement. The email then suggests that the user, if the user thinks the copyright claim has been filed in error, they can file a dispute by following a certain Facebook.com link to report the false claim. And of course, it's really going to Facebook, except it's going into this notes thing. And, yeah. You know, so they get this fake appeal form that they can go fill out, which is, you know, obviously going to a notes page, and it's a form, right? So, you know, what do they do? Well, we need your username and password. Oh, well, you know, but like, yeah, it's really coming from Facebook. So it's got a start, you know, it's got a Facebook certificate. It's got a Facebook domain. It's got
that is quite good.
That is nice. They did work on that.
Someone actually put some thought into it.
Yeah, and then
store an exploit.
And then ultimately it takes you off Facebook for the final form so they can do the phishing. But yeah, I mean, it's like they run you through this whole thing and all the initial links go to Facebook. So it's like, fuck.
Yeah, that's not even mad.
So it's a really interesting read, especially if you do phishing, you know, if you're interested in fishes and things like that. So yeah, I really appreciated this guy's write-up. I thought it was well done. And then finally, the last thing I have for tonight, NIST has released version 1.0 of the privacy framework. How to tell you're being scammed. Your address bar points to Facebook.com. Yeah, you're right, Psychros. Of course, I guess some people, you know, for people who live on that platform. So NIST has put out version 1.0 of the privacy framework, a tool for improving privacy through enterprise risk management. So this is actually a privacy framework for companies that they can implement sort of like as another standard to actually try to have some privacy controls. And the cool thing about NIST doing it is it becomes an auditable standard. Like you can actually have audit companies come in and test your processes and controls and say, yeah, you're NIST compliant. And then, you know, something you can say is, yeah, we're compliant with the NIST privacy framework. So that's cool. If you don't operate in big businesses, you don't know why this matters. But if you've ever worked in one and you know about audits, then yeah, you'll know that this is kind of a cool thing. So it'll hopefully eventually be something you can look for when you're dealing with a company that they're actually meeting, you know, like ISO standards, right? So you see a NIST standard for privacy. Okay, cool. So, you know, it tells you you're at least meeting a minimum standard. Yeah, a lot of times when companies do these standards, they're just running through the checklist and bare minimums and stuff like that. But hey, it's something.
Better than nothing.
You know, I'd love to see Facebook implement this.
Yeah, right.
It's like, and Facebook went out of business. So, you know.
So they would have to start charging users.
Arguably, that's what they should be doing anyways, isn't it?
It depends. Wish to be the product and have a service for free? Or do you wish to pay for a service?
Let's see. I pay for hosting for G15. I pay for hosting for the TeamSpeak. You tell me which one you think I would like.
That sounds like you're looking for a freebie now, my friend. You're stretching yourself awfully thin.
Fuck you very much, madman. Fuck you very much. Would do though. You're hurting me, man, right here, but I can't flick you off through TeamSpeak, so. That's all I got for tonight. Do you guys have anything before I close it out? On the dojo stuff.
Not really. I liked the first dojo, though. That was good.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it bad that I don't feel as horrible when they put work behind it?
No, I think it's good.
It's like an artist. I think the painting of that big ball of shit is terrible that you wasted your talent on that, but you really, really captured a big ball of shit.
Yeah. The lighting is just perfect.
Oh, Cypress just sent me a link, and this might be one he sent me on Reddit and I missed, but he just threw one in the IRC. This is great. It's IHN material more than decking material.
Oh, no, I actually heard this on BBC covered it. Poor Man Sue's Death Man Sue's Port Up.
Yeah, over lack of closed captions.
Well, Pornhub played, responded. Sir. They do have a closed caption section.
Well played, Pornhub.
That's awesome.
They sent the link.
Another beautiful painting of shit.
I'll get that link put in the show notes. That's awesome. That's great.
That's great, yeah.
Anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday-ish. Actually, this year, that might be questionable. I got a lot going on. We'll see. Anyways, Galaxy 15 Radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC tonight. We have myself, Sardonyx, Cycros, Harats, Iron Angel, and Madman. Speaking of Madman, closing thoughts.
I think if it was the Saudi prince, he wouldn't have hacked Bezos' account. I think he'd have Bezos chopped into little pieces and mailed.
Okay, are you closing thoughts?
Just take it easy, everyone, and try not to catch the awoo flu.
Oh, I should clip that song out and use it at some point in the show, shouldn't I?
Oh, we should have played it as a closer.
Yeah, we should have.
Never even thought of that.
I don't have time to clip it and get it on the soundboard now, though. So
everybody, just go look up. Is it telephone or woo? Something like that. Yeah. You'll regret it instantly, but there are some sickos out there who might like it.
That's all I've got. Here we go. Oh, I'm out of practice. Where's the that's it, man?
I have testicular cancer.
That's not it.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Shut up, Wesley.
Of all the cancers.